So one of the things we're trying to do is we're trying to glean these little nuggets. And if you've got some nuggets you've studied through the years, and as Chris comes this morning and he's sharing with us, one of the things that we're launching this morning is this nugget that you can just read over Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3. We're going to be jumping in to chapter 3 and chapter 4 next week. We've got some teaser ideas for you at the end of the lesson. But this morning, we're going to be looking at one of these nuggets and the impact of this nugget. And we don't want to just read past it. We want to really consider this nugget. Chris, come and share with us.
Okay. I want to invite you to turn in your copy of God's Word to Acts 2. We're going to be picking up in verse 42. I'm going to just take a minute and pray that God would open up our eyes to just this word devoted. Just kind of see this as kind of like the big nugget, almost. Like if the apprentices didn't have this happen, the rest is never here. So if devoted never happened, we don't read the rest of the book of Acts. So let me pray, and then we'll get into it this morning. So Father, we thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are mindful of every single one of us. That you know our name. You know the pain that we're dealing with. You know our struggles. You know the areas that we're doing really well. And so Father, best that we know how, we want to lay all those things before you and just ask you to take the place that you deserve in our hearts and in our minds. That you would be able to be the place that we focus our attention. And I pray that you, Spirit, would come alive in us, that you would spur us with affection for you so that we cannot help but be devoted to you. So, Father, do what only you can do now in our hearts and our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. So I just want to ask you, just to get your minds to what we're going to be talking about, I just want to ask you, what comes to your mind when I say the word devoted or devotion? What comes to your mind as you try to define that? And so I wrote down some things this week as I was just doing the same thing as I asked myself questions. But one of the things that came to my mind was discipline. You can't be devoted to something if you're not disciplined to be able to focus on it. I wrote down loyalty, right? I can't be devoted to Tim if I'm not loyal to him. I can't be devoted to our relationship if I don't have some sort of loyalty to spend time to make sure that he has, you know, space in my life. So discipline, loyalty, love and care for something, time, focus, and energy reserved for a specific thing, devotion, right? What does it look like for you to be devoted to something? And so what I want us to be able to do from the very beginning is to see that, hey, the book of Acts uses this word, and they devoted themselves, and we're going to look at that today. Yep. But this isn't an isolated teaching in Scripture. This is something that is all over Scripture. This is a principle that God has for us that we need to be careful what we devote ourselves to. Absolutely. Right? What does Proverbs say? That we need to guard our heart, right? Because why? I need some help here. Man, because from our heart flows what? Not Zach, anybody else? What happens? Come on, I know you know a little bit of Bible in here. We guard our heart with all diligence because from it flows the springs of life. Man, we need some, Zach, I need some help.
Everything flows out of our heart. I got your back, man.
Man, I know. Man, thanks for being loyal to me. He's devoted. He's got my back.
I got you.
So we need to be careful about what our hearts get, what captures the affections of our heart, because whatever captures our heart demands our devotion. Mm. Okay? So that's the premise. Right here, I'm going to say it this way. Whatever you show devotion to in some way has captured your heart.
Yep, that's good. I agree.
And this can be both positive or negative, right? So it is good for you to be able to show devotion to your family, right?
Yep.
It's a good thing, right? It's a good thing to show some devotion, some focus on your health, right? It's a good thing. It could be a really good thing or it could be a bad thing. This is where we teeter the other way, to be devoted to a hobby, right? Yeah. You can become quickly consumed by something, or you can really thoroughly enjoy it and it becomes rest and Sabbath for you, yeah, right? And then what's some bad things you could be devoted to? You could be devoted to an addiction. Right? That's a really bad devotion. You are loyal to this thing that is dragging you to literal death, right? And then a subtle thing, you can be devoted to yourself. Yep. And that can be very dangerous. Mm-hmm. If you're so devoted to yourself that you withhold yourself nothing, it could be dangerous. So I'm just going to ask you, what are you devoted to? And we just have one idea we want you to just allow, just to be able to just sink into your mind. And let's just think about it together as a family this week. But this is the main thing I want us to be able to walk away with. What captures your heart demands your devotion.
That's good. Read that again.
What captures your heart demands your devotion. Okay, so you guys, clearly the way that you're looking at me, don't believe me. So let me try to give you some illustrations, okay? Was it just me or did I? Okay, okay. So let me give you an illustration about something that's captured my heart and has demanded my devotion, right? Okay, so there's a cute little girl right here named Marissa over there. All right, Sade. All right, that's wifey right there, okay? Right. So when I saw her, she caught my attention. All right. And it took a while for us to be able to, like, didn't have mutual friends, didn't have whatever. So it was like a year from when I saw you to when we actually went on that first date. Right. And leading up to me finally asking her to go on that date, I saw her like 6 times that week. And I told my roommate, I walked in and I was like, man, if I see her again, you got to make me ask her out. I mean, So what happens? We go to dinner and she's just walking out of her dorm over there. And I was like, I didn't say that, man. I didn't say it. I didn't. So I had to ask her out. So the grace of God, she said yes. And we went out for our first date. All right. But what happened on that first date was my heart got captured by that woman. I got to know her a lot. I got to see where she wanted to do, what the Lord meant to her. You know, what a little bit about her family. That's Dave and Angie right next to her amazing parents, right? And so over the course of that day in that coffee shop, in that upper little table, my heart got captured by this woman. And so what happened? My heart was captured. I was like, I need her in my life. So then that demanded for me to be able to show devotion to her, to prove to her that I want to be her man, that I'm going to provide, protect, and love her, right? So that captivation of my heart for her demanded me to act. And if I would have been lax, if I would have just sat back and done nothing, I would have lost her. So if I wanted her, that devotion to her demanded me to do something about it. Right? Another one, because I'm just going to make fun of myself.
Wait a minute, I just got to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Was that an easy path? Oh, no, you can ask him about that after.
She did turn me down. All right. She said no at first. Okay. It's fine. All right. It's fine.
No. Fine. I'm just trying to say. But yeah. He was devoted at that point.
Yeah.
He was all in.
He was
all in.
Yeah.
I love you too. Okay. Yeah. That's good.
I mean,
that's the reality of the devotion.
That was the reality of the devotion. After that first date, I was like, man, I'm going to marry this woman. I had that in my mind already. But anyway. Yes, devotion, right? Let me give you another one because we may have just got sidetracked. All right, I remember 2017 or 2018, a friend of mine is further in his coffee journey than I am, okay? And so this dude had the audacity to give me this coffee from Ruby Coffee Roasters in Madison, Wisconsin, and I tasted it and my eyes were shooketh, all right? I've never been the same. That's not even a word. I just made it up. It's fine. Right? I tasted this thing and I didn't know that coffee could taste like that. My mind was blown. It was sweet. It tasted like cherry. I was like, whoa, what on earth? How can this taste like this? And so ever since that moment, my taste buds, my heart has been captivated by coffee and I've been pursuing all that coffee could taste like with the rest of my life. Right? Okay. So that experience, that moment of coffee captivated my heart. I was like, whoa, I want more of this. And so now I have to put in the work. I have to go find more coffees. I have to brew it. I have to learn all this stuff, become a big nerd, and enjoy coffee in that way. That captivation required my devotion. Right? So what is that for you? What different moments in your life have captivated your heart and now is demanding your devotion? And what we're going to see, this is exactly what happened within the apprentices, the apostles here, the early church in Acts chapter 2. This is exactly what happened. Their hearts got captivated by the gospel of Jesus Christ. For the very first time, all of the light bulbs went off. Everything made sense. Finally, to them, they understood who the Messiah was, and it demanded their affection, their allegiance, their devotion. That all the pieces, all of the Bible, like clicked for them. They understood from the beginning that God created this amazing universe, and he created it in such a way that you and I would be able to have perfect relationship and perfect harmony. But because of our sin, we chose to reject him and we made a divide. And so them now at this point, they were hearing the beautiful news of the gospel that Peter was proclaiming, that Jesus fixes the divide. And that if you would put your faith and your trust in Jesus because of his life, burial, and resurrection, that you could be reunited with God and begin to walk in life everlasting. And so that clicked inside of them. And so now they didn't want to have an allegiance to anything else. They're like, man, if this is true, then this changes everything, and I want more of him. And so we see that here. Let me read to you, Acts 2, 37, right after the preaching. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. The apostles are just available. They're available for the Spirit to move. The Spirit speaks. And now this is the response. 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. What happened? Did something happen to their heart? Their heart got captivated, right? So the gospel, the good news of Jesus captivated their heart. And what happened? And they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, brothers, now what shall we do? And Peter said to them, man, you need to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and all who were far off and everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. They were cut to the heart, and they're like, what do we do? What do we do? And Peter's like, man, give your life to Jesus, and now let's walk this out together. And so now, with that captivation, their hearts were captivated. Now we get to read this, Acts 2, 42 through 47. And so they didn't just muster something up. They didn't just manufacture something. They didn't just try to be a good enough person. This heart captivation, they got in awe of the gospel. And this spurs the response. Now things begin to happen. Acts 42, 42, it says this. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And as a result, all came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And then what happened? And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. That's crazy. That's amazing. That's what we desire as a church family, for us to be able to experience. That's our longing, right? But for so long, for me, and as Tim has told me, for you, this seemed like this was something we could never attain. Mm-hmm. This almost seemed like something that, man, that was really cool, but we'll never get anything close to that.
But we don't believe that anymore.
Yeah, but we don't believe that anymore.
We don't believe that anymore.
Yeah. Are you saying that rhetorical, or are you saying?
Yeah, I don't believe that anymore.
Oh, okay. I don't believe that it is, yeah.
No,
yeah, we don't believe that this is out of reach. We believe that we can experience this. Yeah, no, yeah. We're looking for it for us. We believe that we can experience this right now through us. Yeah. And why? This isn't something that they manufacture.
No, not at all.
What happened? This is the part where you guys helped me preach the sermon. What happened? Their hearts were captivated by the gospel.
Yeah.
And then what happened? Then they devoted themselves to seeking God.
Yep, absolutely.
That's what happened. That's what happened. And so, man, what would happen? This is what we're just asking all of us. What would it look like for all of us to be able to be devoted to our God, our King, and allowing him to flow through us? What would this section look like to describe the Mountain View family? What would it look like? It's not something like we need to manufacture, we need to create and look for these big events.
Nope.
It seems to me like they devoted themselves to the teaching and to the fellowship, and they allowed the Spirit to be able to just do the work.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, man, you fire me up.
Okay, man, let's keep rolling. Let's keep rolling. This is our desire. This is our desire. We don't believe that we hold the secret keys to the kingdom.
Not at all.
If we have any secret, all we're trying to do is we're trying to throw it out to you. We're anything that we get, any little nugget, we're like, you know, take this. Yeah. And what we're trying to get all of us to believe is that God actually loves you.
Amen.
He loves you.
Amen.
And he wants a relationship with you.
Yes,
he wants to go through life with you. He wants you to be able to experience what it's like to allow heaven to flow through yes. you and affect earth.
Yep.
He wants to walk with you. And so, and if you don't want it, I can't make you want it.
No.
Your heart's got to get captivated.
No.
And so what we're praying is that just the Spirit of God just smacks all of us. Because what I want all of us to get captivated to find this love and affection for the gospel that we can't help but walk it out.
Yeah.
And it's not going to look perfectly, right? What does Pastor Tim share all the time? This is not perfection. This is the process of learning, growing, and changing.
Amen.
Every day.
Yep.
Learning, growing, and changing. And it's because we're walking with God.
Yeah,
we're walking with God. We're learning how to apprentice with him. Right? There's a difference between belief in Jesus and devotion to Jesus.
Yep, absolutely.
And so that's what we're trying to get you to just to sit and think. And do you believe in Jesus, or are you devoted to learning how to follow him until you leave this earth?
Yeah, that's good.
There's a big difference between belief and devotion.
Yep.
And we want to be a devoted people.
Yep.
Because what begins to happen is that these people, the 3,000 plus, they began to be devoted to the Lord. And then through everyday interactions, through naturally supernatural experience, walking to the temple, they begin to, because they're walking with God, allowing the Spirit to work through them.
And what Chris is about to highlight, and what we're going to point out, we just want to make that, we can't make this point enough, that the Spirit filled all of these people.
Yeah.
It wasn't this elite group of people that
right.
got filled, that it was this huge group of people, the 3,000 that got saved,
yeah.
they all on top of all the disciples, the apostles, the apprentices that were already living it out, they all devoted themselves.
Yeah.
So some of you might say, man, you guys are talking crazy talk. Well, we're going to keep talking crazy
yeah.
talk. Can you imagine? We don't have 3,000 people on the property today. But can you imagine 3,000 plus people devoted? What does that look like?
Yeah. I mean, I could tell you what it looked like here.
No.
So what do they devote themselves to? What did it look like? And so they devoted themselves to two things. They devoted themselves to what's first. You can look down. It's open note test right here. What did it say? Open. Yeah. They devoted themselves to what? Man, we are struggling. You guys could talk to me.
I got you. I said it.
Gosh, you did. Okay, man. Okay, you can keep looking down. We'll look at the next one. I'll ask you again. All right. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, right? And so, what does this look like? When Jesus was here on earth before he left, he grabbed his disciples and he said, "Now, what are you supposed to do? I want you to go and teach the world everything I've commanded you. Teach them. Teach them to obey." And so, can you imagine them? I can't even remember when Tyler asks me to give him his charger back. All right? But imagine having the weight of the words of the Messiah and now them saying, "Hey, go teach everyone." So that's why they began writing things down. That's why we have the word of God with us, because they began being faithful to the teachings of Jesus and they didn't want to screw it up. They didn't want to get in the way. So they were recording it to pass it on. And so these early believers, they're like, "Man, if Jesus will save me, I want to learn how he wants to live with me." And so they devoted themselves. They were in the word together. They were constantly reading it. They were devoted to learning what God has to say. And then how do I live this out?
And this is what we keep reiterating. And we've got to keep fighting this as a church family. Jesus' teaching, you think about all of the religious teachers that hated him mm-hmm. because he was modeling something different. It wasn't about intellectual information. Like, wasn't about having all this doctrine and theology and having all these different laws. Jesus was saying, "This is my teaching, and this is how it gets lived out in everyday life." And so they were trying to say, they were trying to understand, okay, what we're trying to learn, it fits in everyday living.
Yeah.
Do you see that there's a big difference between taking the teaching and just putting it up on a shelf, like in a library of your mind?
Yeah.
No, this teaching, I've got to live this out on the job. I've got to apply this truth to my family first.
Yeah.
There's a huge difference, and that's what we are trying to get back to, the simplicity of, if we believe this, then what does it look like through our attitudes and our actions?
Yeah. No, absolutely. What does God's word say, and how do I live this out? That's what they devoted themselves to. And then what's the second thing? Devoted themselves to the teaching and to, there we go. Oh, man. Okay. And to fellowship. All right. Fellowship, that's kind of a church word that we don't really necessarily know what it means, but time together, right? We don't say that anywhere else except for in church.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. But what did that look like? These people that literally wouldn't spend time with each other aside from the gospel are now sharing meals together inside their table. These people that are across racial divides, different languages, some Jewish, some not Jewish. There's debates all throughout the book of Acts. Like, how do we figure this out?
Yep.
Are we supposed to keep the Jewish laws or not? Do we force them to get circumcised or not? Right? All this stuff. It's weird. It was messy. I said circumcised. I did. I'm sorry. Right?
It's okay.
Right? It was messy. It was, you know, all this. They're figuring out. But guess what? They devoted themselves to the fellowship. Why? Just because we need another thing on our calendar?
No.
No, because they were in awe of God and they understood that they needed each other to keep their devotion for God fixed.
Amen. That's so good.
So even though may not have all the most things in common, we had the most important thing in common. So we're going to sit here and we're going to share a meal and we're going to pray. You know, one of the reasons why it's so special for us to be able to gather as a church family and be able to pray for a single thing? What does that do for us? And that unifies us.
Absolutely.
That unifies us to be able to beg on behalf of, you know, somebody's health. Whether God decides to answer or it doesn't, what does it do to us? We experience this unity because we are coming together, putting all of our junk aside, and we're saying, "God, would you please hear us?"
That's absolutely true.
So these people devoted themselves to being in each other's houses and to praying with one another. Okay, so what does that look like? This is the crazy thing. And this, I swear, Tim and I, we don't try to make this stuff up. This is just comes out of the word of God. This is crazy. Boil that down to God's word and to time with each other. Yep. What does that sound like? How do I be devoted? Boil it down. It sounds like what Jesus said.
Yep, absolutely.
That we love the Lord our God with all of our heart.
Yes.
With all our soul, with all our might. And then what?
Love each other.
And then we love each other.
Yep.
I mean, look at it. Go back. Doesn't this seem like, man, what they're doing is, how do we become devoted? How do we experience this? We stay focused on God, on our love, my own individual love for God. Yeah. I stay focused on him and trying to learn and grow in the person that he's calling me to be. And then as I do that, he changes my heart. Yeah. He changes the way I see things. I begin to see people the way that he does. Things that would tick me off in my flesh are beginning to make me feel sympathy and concern for somebody. Yep, my time with him makes me more like him. And then I spend time with people because I'm compelled by his love for me.
Yep, absolutely.
Love God and love one another. That's just simply what they did. And so before Pastor Tim comes up and kind of helps to land this plane, just want to ask you, what is your devotion? Yep. What are you devoted to? And for some of you, just the fact of us talking about this is revealing the war that you feel inside of you all the time.
Absolutely.
Man, I have this devotion for Christ, but I also have this devotion for this other thing, and I don't know how they fit. And you feel that war inside. I understand that. Mm-hmm. So if you figure it out, please come let me know. But what this is an invitation to is for you to be able to rekindle that love and affection that you have for your Savior. To be able to have that as the most important thing about you. And then to allow his love for you to be able to change the way that you love other people. And as we're going to see, when we do that, we begin to see the world the way that he does. Suddenly your job isn't just a job anymore, but it's this avenue for God to be able to flow through you. Suddenly the people that would annoy you, you start to see, whoa, they have a lot of hurt and pain. And I don't know what to say, God, but you want me to come talk to them and sit with them? And you become to be an avenue for the Spirit to walk through you. And that is what we're getting to with the rest of the study in the book of Acts, is it's going to be through everyday encounters that the apostles experienced the Spirit flowing through them. Because they were devoted to their love for God and their love for one another, and they allowed the Spirit to do the rest.
So one of the things that Chris has mentioned, and we need you to just think about this as we're wrapping things up, is that, and this is one of the things that we're going to continue to press in, is that there's a huge difference between the Western church and, if I can say, the Eastern church. In the Western church in America, you just think about how we have adopted this idea that we've got to put on these big events, these big gigs, these big things. Mm-hmm. And what Chris has been proclaiming all morning is this very natural, supernatural.
Yep.
This very organic, Spirit-filled explosion to where we're not... It's not a gig that we're trying to put on.
Right.
And it's not something that we're trying to make happen. It's not something that we're looking at. No, we're just trying to press in to this organic, natural flow of seeking God. And these supernatural things just explode out of that. That's what, that's what we believe together.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's what we're pressing into. And so we're not against big events. But if you look at this 3,000 people and you go a couple chapters over and there's 5,000 men that respond to the gospel, this is not smoke and mirrors, and this is not a light show, and this was not something that they put together because of capitalism. This was something that was energized by the Spirit of the living God.
Yep.
It was very natural, but it was supernatural.
Yeah.
This is what we believe together.
Absolutely. And imagine what would happen if all of us would rise up and believe that the Spirit of God wants to use us. Suddenly, it's not just one avenue for God to be able to be here. It's not just two. It's not just three. But it's 150 people saying, Spirit, have your way.
You looked around early and you greeted one another. Can you imagine the prairie fire of the Holy Spirit with each of us being one of those little tumbleweed fires. Can you imagine the ignition points all across? And we're not talking about setting this big, huge bonfire for everybody to come to. We're talking about how these prairie fires, it just, the tumbleweed ignites and then it just goes to all these different places. This is a crazy part of what we're talking about that we believe that we see in the book of Acts. And so we've got some homework for you for this week. Now, you can do it right now. Some of you are super quick. You can do it real quick. But we want you to consider the chain reaction of what Chris has been challenging us about devotion. What does this chain reaction of devotion look like? So in verses 42 through 47, or you can go back to verse 40, we want you to just circle every time you see the word and. And. Count and look at how many times the word and is used in just this small portion of scripture. And we're talking about this chain reaction to devotion. It's not some formula. It's all the things that the Holy Spirit does when we are open and yielded and listening and obedient and filled and. Do you see this chain reaction that comes from this nugget that Chris has been presenting to us this morning about devotion?
Yeah.
What does this devotion, what does that morph into? And we've got something that I want to just leave you with this as a visual. For those of you that are questioning, yes, I got permission. No, I did not steal this out of the Food Lion parking lot, okay? I got like 4 or 5 questions the first service. No, this is here in proper order, all right? But this is what I want you to just look at. I want to give you this visual, and we're not going to give you the answer. Chris and I are not going to give you the answer. We just want you to meditate on this visual comparison because this is what we're going to dive into next week on a deeper level because there's another nugget that you have to consider because we believe that there is a different connotation, a different use, a different application. We've been talking about this word follower. But we believe that in the context of this early launching in their culture, that there was a different meaning to devoted follower than the way we use the term devoted follower today. So I want you to look at this shopping cart. And I want you to think about and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what this means for you. But I want you to look at the difference between the shopping cart and all these different tools or potential tools from jumper cables, all different kinds of tools, things that you could use for different things. The Bible is sitting here. You've got your holly tone here, all these different things. What is the difference between these? And this is what we're going to talk about next week. This is a lead-in for your mind. So I want to ask you some questions real quick. Got to hold my glasses. They broke right before the service. Those of you that have reading glasses, you know the plot. As Chris asks us, what captures your heart? What demands your devotion? Because they're connected. Would you join with us in our devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ? This devotion plays itself out throughout everyday moments, the simplicity, the natural organic flow of life. This devotion plays itself out through everyday moments as we learn to allow the Spirit of God to guide us and to use us as He sees fit. Will you devote yourself to Christ by faith? Maybe today for the very first time, Or maybe today is for the 832nd time. We're not keeping track. We don't care. Some of you, you have been beat up and you have made wrong choices and you have been devoted to everything in the world other than Jesus, and you know the ramifications of what that does to you. Repentance is the most beautiful gift available to us through Jesus by the Spirit. Will you press in and join us and fight for devotion to Jesus Christ by faith? Now, as we stand, worship teams are going to come back. We're going to begin singing and following along with them. If your heart's thumping, if you need to do something, if you need to make some kind of choice decision, maybe you need somebody to pray over you, with you, whatever, about this whole issue of being devoted to Jesus Christ, as we stand together and as we begin to sing, make your way back to the back and we will pray with you. We've got people back there. Sean's back there. I'm going to be back there. We've got other people. Amy's going to be back there. Please don't leave here without addressing the issue of devotion in your life. Pastor Chris, you nailed it. Thank you. That was amazing. Let's stand and let's worship together.